Von 0 auf 100. Aral feiert 100 Jahre mit über 100.000 Gewinnen. Zum Beispiel ein Jahr frei tanken. Jetzt ein Dankeschön, Rubbellos zu jedem Einkauf. Alle Infos auf aral.de. Aral, alles super.
Total Clearance. Der Snooker-Podcast mit Andreas Dies und Christian Oehmicke auf meinsportpodcast.de.
Herzlich willkommen zu einer kleinen Zwischenausgabe von Total Clearance hier auf meinsportpodcast.de. Dieser Tage läuft das Champion of Champions und in etwas mehr als einer Woche wird York wieder das Mekka der Snookerwelt sein, wenn die Profis eins ihrer Triple Crown Turniere bei der UK Championship ausspielen. Auch dabei sein wird natürlich Ronnie O'Sullivan, der dieses Turnier bereits 7-mal gewonnen hat. Im Vorfeld dieses Turniers hat sich Ronnie O'Sullivan für ein Interview mit mir zur Verfügung gestellt. Wir haben über Finalniederlagen gesprochen, die ein bisschen mehr wehtun als andere, Snooker als Hobby, was er letztens in einem Interview erst noch gesagt hat, und ob er sich schon auf den Kaffee in York freut. Hörer, die unser Interview von vor 2 Jahren gehört haben, die wissen, was ich meine. Das Interview, das könnt ihr hier hören. Hi Ronnie.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you doing?
Yeah, good.
Thanks for taking your time. I heard you have some issues with your queue right now.
No, not really. It's just I think a lot of players have issues, you know, with putting finding the right tip. But nah, maybe 10 years ago it would really irritate me. But now, just at some point, I'll get a good one on there. But it's not even worth worrying about. You know, it's you just keep playing and It'll all take care of itself.
Yeah. Right now you're in Bolton, aren't you?
No, I'm at home. I'm at home at the moment, relaxing. I've got some stuff to do today. Just relaxing, yeah. I think I'll go to Bolton tomorrow. I play Thursday.
Yeah,
Thursday. So, yeah, just enjoying myself at home at the moment.
Yeah. I would like to talk to you about some topics. First of all, Corona and the COVID virus. We are close to entering year 3 of this worldwide pandemic. What were the biggest challenges for you the last 2 years on a personal level and how you prepared for tournaments, etc.?
I've actually quite enjoyed it, to be honest with you. It's really worked out well because I think the calendar, it's good to be busy, but with not having China, it's allowed you to actually participate in tournaments without having to fly backwards and forwards from China every other week. You know, I love going to China, but I think in an ideal world, you should go there, stay there, maybe play 3 events on the trot and then come home. Whereas before it was like 1 week in China, 1 week in England, 1 week in China, 1 week in England, 1 week in China, 1 week in England. And he was like, why are we going backwards and forwards? Why don't we just stay here? It just doesn't make sense because obviously, you know, it takes a toll on your body and you just think, is someone doing this deliberately? Do they just want to make your life difficult? You know what I mean? And they just kind of just think, so then I didn't play in a lot of the China events because I just thought, I just love life too much and I don't want to be sitting in the plane feeling tired and jet lagged. So I thought, I'll let them all do that. And obviously if the promoter comes and talks to me and says, look, we really want you in the tournament, we want to work with you, I'd be like, okay, fine. But otherwise, you know, I'm not going to like bust my balls for anything. You know, it's just not worth it. You know, I always choose quality of life over stress any day of the week. But yeah, so going back to your question, the pandemic has meant that China hasn't been able to put events on. So it's meant that I could actually play as much as everybody else for a change, which has been quite nice. You know.
That would have been my next question with the tournaments in China. You always mentioned that you love the tournaments in China. Is there anything you miss on the tour nowadays regarding traveling? You don't miss anything?
No, I actually don't miss traveling at all. You know, I always found that pretty the difficult part of it. You know, I love going to different places. So I've got a decision to make. Obviously, when China does decide to put tournaments on, and before the pandemic, I decided that Asia probably was the future for me and my work for the next 10, 15 years. So I was going to kind of not play the UK events and just focus on the China events. So as you know, if there was like 3 tournaments in China in a month, then I'd probably just stay in China the whole month and not come back for the tournaments that are in the UK. And then at least then I've like, I can do my business out there, do what I've got to do, play my snooker and have a, you know, and enjoy it. So yeah, that's probably what I would do if China comes back, putting on events, which is hopefully soon.
Recording in progress.
It'd be nice to get back to China.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about last season. You had a great season with 5 finals. Unfortunately, you lost every one of these finals. Does it still bother you to lose these matches? Some of them were awfully close.
To be honest with you, 3 of them I never turned up for, mentally and psychologically. I kind of wasn't really up for the fight, to be honest. I was quite happy just to get them over and done with and get an early night. But there was 2 finals where I felt like I was really up for playing, and they're always disappointing because, you put your heart and soul into it. So when I lost to Jordan Brand, that was not a tough one to take because I was quite happy for him, in many ways, because it was nice for him. But it was nice to be involved in a good match. So that was pleasing, but obviously disappointing to come on the losing end. And then obviously against Judd in the Irish Open, I felt like I was quite competitive in that match, and it didn't work out. But it was a good workout, it was good to still compete with these guys on the tour,
Yeah. Speaking of workouts, you started years ago with a fitness program. We see it with other players like Slim John Higgins right now. They always try to improve. Will this fitness thing will it become an even bigger factor in the next years? To be perfect in all aspects of the game.
I think it's important for me that I always have to do that. It's probably one of the most important things I do in my life. But with the snooker players and the snooker tour, in many ways, the way they travel from event to event and it's not easy. I think you kind of, it's hard to look after yourself. You end up neglecting yourself in many ways, eating takeaways, eating at the airports, late nights, early mornings, just disappointment. You can eat on your feelings sometimes, and it's not easy, It's not like when you go to a tennis tournament or golf tournament, they've got all sushi there and they've got all this and you just think, lovely. You go to a snooker tournament, it's burger chips, Kentucky Fried Chicken and all this sort of really unhealthy stuff. So if it's there and you're hungry or you're feeling like terrible, you just played a terrible match, you're going to grab for that, So it's very difficult to resist that sort of stuff. But I've managed to do that because I could see I could see the pitfalls. So you kind of like think, well, okay, well, I better off go this way, And so, yeah, I think fitness is important, but it's difficult to do it as a snooker player as well,
In tennis, the neuroathletic training gets more important every year. Every player wants to max out every factor of his game. Is there any part of the game do you think snooker players could still improve?
I think more snooker is not so much of a physical sport, but it's more of a mental sport. So I think if you was going to, improve a snooker player, I think you'd work on their mental state because it's very hard to change what you do physically. I think it's just trying to stay in a good place. And that's for any sport, really. But, obviously snooker doesn't require you to have tons of cardiovascular fitness like a tennis player does. So, obviously, that's much more specific to tennis, but I think for snooker, it's more of a mental sort of challenge, if that makes sense. Like chess with balls, I call snooker.
Yeah. And if I may ask another question regarding tennis, Andy Murray is trying to come back to the top of his game, to the top of the sport after his hip surgery. He still has fire in him and this competitiveness. Do you watch his matches sometimes? I think his competitiveness is great for the sport and for him as well.
Yeah, I think it's good that he's, has come back. He's been through a tough journey, and most people have said, look, I'm done. But he didn't. He kept going and kept going. And that perseverance is incredible. The only thing you worry about is that, like with the injuries and the way he plays, it's a very physical type of game. It's a lot of chasing balls down and stuff like that. And you just think, can you keep doing that? When you've had to put your body back together again. So, these young guys on the circuit, they're hungry, they've got the desire. So, I just say, as long as you lower your expectations and don't expect to win much, it's okay. If you love what you do, like he obviously does, then who cares? You get to travel the world, you get to do something you love, and what a wonderful thing to do, So I wouldn't, if I was Andy Murray, I wouldn't be disappointed if I wasn't winning. I'd just be like, I'm just happy to be back on the tennis court, and playing in front of fans and traveling and living a good life.
Mm. you talked about having a good workout against in these finals, and you talked about in an interview just seeing snooker as a hobby. Is there anything you enjoy most at a snooker table right now?
I have this rule that if I'm not enjoying it, I won't do it. So, you know, there's sometimes you have to force yourself to play. So, you know, a lot of the times I give myself 20 minutes. And if I'm still not enjoying it after 20 minutes, then I know it's time to go home, put my cue away and go do something else. Because usually the first 10, 15 minutes is the hard part. But once you get past that, usually you click into gear. But if you don't, then that's probably the snooker god saying, you know what, you need a break. So, you know, I'm very good at sort of not overdoing it or not forcing the issue. I just let it come. I let it happen. And if it happens, great. If it doesn't, you know, it's not really that important at this stage of my career, other than, you know, probably a little bit like Andy Murray. Just happy to be out there, happy to be enjoying it and still great to be part of it, you know.
How does your schedule look like this season? You will play the champion of champions. You will play the UK champions, UK championships. Other than that, how do you decide which tournaments you will play this season?
I don't know, mate. What I do know is that I'll only play a tournament that starts and finishes in that week. You know, I won't be doing no pre-qualifying. Like I said, unless the promoter comes and talks to me and wants to kind of cut a deal with me, then I'd be happy to maybe take some time out. But otherwise, for me, the enjoyment comes from being at the tournament from start to end. All the aggravation of going up here and there just to play the odd match, it's just not worth it for me. You know, I've got fast so many other things that I could be doing my time rather than that. So, you know, that kind of narrows it down what I'll play in. But yeah, listen, I just play in whatever. In some ways, I managed to sneak in the champions and champions back door. I didn't win a tournament last year. And in some ways, I was quite disappointed because I was looking forward to having a week off and doing something else. So, you know, it just means I have to focus a little bit more this week because I've got a tournament that I wasn't really meant to be in. So where a lot of the players are chasing to get in these tournaments, I'm just kind of thinking, well, if I don't make it, it means I get a week off and I can go running in the Lake District or go and do some other stuff with my friends. So in some ways, I've reversed the psychology, if you like. You know, I don't really want to play in everything, but, you know, if I do, great. And if I've had enough, then I'll probably just go for everything and just in some tournaments, I'm quite happy to get beat in the second and third round because I just want to see where my game is at. I get more of a thrill at thinking, is my game all right? Could I win? Yeah. Do I really want to sweat it out this week? Not really. So, but as long as my game's all right, I can sleep better, you know?
Our listeners want to hear, will you play in Germany in February? In Fürth, European market?
I don't know. Again, it's sort of, I've entered it. But to be honest with you, I don't really know, to be honest with you. I don't really know. For me, I don't know. I can't answer that one at the moment. I can't answer that one.
Nuremberg is a great city. It's next to Fürth. So.
Yeah. No, listen, I love Germany. I love being there. But it has to be right for me, you know, at this stage of my career. Like I said, you know, I'm quite open to talk to any promoter about making it worth my while to come. If I want to go, I'll go. But you know, to guarantee me there, promoters have got to obviously come down and sit down and get around the table and discuss it with me. Otherwise, I just have so many other options of doing things back at home that just kind of make my life a little bit easier. And it's more bigger picture stuff, you know, like snooker. There's so many tournaments that sometimes it's great to miss a few, you know what I mean? It's not like I'm sitting there thinking, oh, there's only a few tournaments. There's so many that you just think, who cares if you win or lose? Who cares if you go here? Who cares if you go there? There's loads, you know, it's like 10 a penny nowadays, you know.
Last question. 2 years ago, we talked shortly before the UK Championship. You mentioned the brilliant coffee in York. Still something you look forward to for the UK Championship?
Yeah, I used to drink a lot of coffee, but I got a disease called GERD, which is gastroesophagus reflux disease, which gives you a lot of heartburn. And I had a lot of stomach problems for about 10 months. And I'd done so much research and trying to figure out what it was that might be causing it. And coffee was one of the things that I should try and stop drinking. So I'll be honest with you, I've had two coffees in probably 8 months. And I love a coffee. I might actually start reintroducing it in York because that is the town of coffee shops. And it'd be really horrible of me to not experience having coffee in a coffee bar in York, especially at Christmas time. So, yeah, I might have to indulge myself in a nice cafe latte and take a picture and send it to you so you can stick it on social media.
That'd be great. Thanks for your time and best of luck for the Champion of Champions and the UK Championship. Thank you.
Andres, thank you very much. I hope I'll see you in Germany.
Yeah, I hope so too.
Recording stopped.
Das war Ronnie O'Sullivan. Die UK Championships werden von der ersten bis zur letzten Sekunde wieder auf Eurosport übertragen und im Eurosport Player. Los geht es am 23. November und das Finale wird am 5. Dezember ausgespielt im Barbican Center in York. Bei Total Clearance werden wir natürlich dann auch täglich darüber berichten.
Von 0 auf 100. Aral feiert 100 Jahre mit über 100.000 Gewinnen. Zum Beispiel ein Jahr frei tanken. Jetzt ein Dankeschön, Rubbellos zu jedem Einkauf. Alle Infos auf aral.de. Aral, alles super.
Total Clearance. Der Snooker-Podcast mit Andreas Dies und Christian Oehmicke auf meinsportpodcast.de.
Von 0 auf 100. Aral feiert 100 Jahre mit über 100.000 Gewinnen. Zum Beispiel ein Jahr frei tanken. Jetzt ein Dankeschön, Rubbellos zu jedem Einkauf. Alle Infos auf aral.de. Aral, alles super.